We're learning Tanya by the Alter Rebbe, the most fundamental book of Hasidus Chabad, Chabad's thought, school of thought. And we're by chapter 7, which is a very interesting and fundamental chapter, kind of long. So I don't think we're going to do it in one class, probably two or three classes. But the subject actually is just one. Even though it's a long chapter, it's just one unique subject. And the subject is something called Klipas Noiga, which would translate as a brilliant shell, something like that. Now, we spoke about this in chapter 6. So how does the progression, so to speak, of the ideas go? First of all, we defined, I'm not going to the first chapter, otherwise it's going to be like heavy. So I always go back to the first chapter. So we just explained the structure of the soul. That's it. We spoke about the soul, the structure of the soul. We explained it, and we went into chapter 5, explaining that you have an amazing unification with God when you learn Torah, even stronger than when you keep mitzvahs, commandments, and so on. And then chapter 6, the Alter Rebbe said, hey, this whole structure is not just holiness, but unholiness has exactly the same structure. And he started explaining what Sitra Achra, the other side, means, all the impurity, all the etc., etc. And now in chapter 7, and actually he's going to continue chapter 8 a little bit, in chapter 7 he defines this intermediate level, Klipas Noiga. And as I explained already, when we learn chapter 1 and when we learn chapter 6, and I'll repeat just a very short idea, this chapter defines actually the source of the souls of non-Jews that leave idolatry and leave all the garbage of other religions and so on. This is the chapter that explains where they come from. As I mentioned before many times, the Alter Rebbe did not write, as far as I know, Tanya for non-Jews. It's for Jews. So the Alter Rebbe is not going to talk about non-Jews, but I explained already, his son, the Mittler Rebbe, and commentaries on the works of the Mittler Rebbe, and generation after generation, they're being passed on, so to speak, the leaders of Chabad, passed on that there is such a thing as a difference between the soul of a regular, quote-unquote, idolater, pagan or whatever. I would say, even though these are not the words of Tanya, but I would say, ancient nations, nations of antiquity, whatever. There's a difference between that and regular ben noyach bas noyach, man or woman. There's a difference, and the difference is where the soul gets sustenance, nurtures from. Regular ancient nations and so on, pagan and etc., they come from chapter 6 of Tanya, quote unquote, impurity. That's it. Forget it. Nothing good comes out of them. Nothing good will ever come out of them. And that's it. That's chapter six. But Bnei Noyach come from chapter 7 of Tanya. So what does he say? Let's go. Chapter 7. Perek Zayin. Ach, nefesh achiyuni sabah hamiz shebisrael shemitzad haklipa. However, the however goes on directly on chapter 6. I defined what impurity means. So however, there's something else. The Nefesh HaChiyunis is the soul that gives life, sustains the animal soul of the Jews that comes from the klipa, from the shell, from impurity, that is invested, Merubeshes Bedam HaAdam Kanal, Kanizka Le'el, that is invested in the blood of the person. As we mentioned before, don't forget the end of chapter 6, the Alter Rebbe spoke about the souls of the ancient nations and so on. So that's why he's saying, but the soul of a Jew is a different thing. It's a different thing. And the souls of the animals. In Hebrew, you have two types of animals, behema and chayo. Behema is regularly like a farm animal, cows, sheep, goats. And chayo is like a wild animal, usually, dogs, cats, and so on. In this particular case, he's not talking about dogs and cats because he wants to talk about animals that are pure. Pure means that the Torah allows a Jew to eat. Non-Jews can eat whatever they want except for a part of a living animal, which is a different subject, not for today. But he's talking about kosher allowed for Jews to eat wild animals. For instance, a deer would be a chaya. Chaya tehoira. So again, let's go back to the words. Nefashes, behemes, chayes, eifes, dagim, tehoirim. These souls of the not wild, I don't know how to say it in English, animals and wild animals and birds and fish that are pure. Mutarim bachela, that you can eat, actually the Jew can eat. Beki yum chayus kolat doimem, and the sustenance and livelihood of all the inanimate parts of the world. Becholat sameyach amutar bachela, and all the vegetables that are allowed to be eaten, because in Judaism there are vegetables, like orla, for instance, the fruits of the first year of a planted newly planted tree, you cannot eat it for 3 years, so that's already out, because you cannot eat it, a Jew cannot eat it. But over here we're talking about the plants that you can eat, that a Jew can eat. And the same thing happens with the livelihood, the sustenance of all the actions and speech and thoughts of things of the world. What does it mean, things of the world? That they're not forbidden, like really something forbidden by the Torah. No, we're not talking about something forbidden. Not even a root, not even a ramification of this 365 prohibitive commandments, forbidden things. And the ramifications that come from the Torah, from the sages. So what kind of actions are you talking about? They are not forbidden actions of any kind. But what kind of actions are you talking about? Actions of this world. What does that mean? We're all living this world. So everything you do is from this world. So what is he talking about? You're talking about actions that you don't do for the sake of God, for the sake of heavens. Rather, we're talking about the will of the body, the desire of the body, the passions of the body, and even if you're talking about something that the body needs to sustain itself, to be alive, literally, I need to eat. If I don't eat, I die. So I go and eat. But in the example I just gave of eating, the Alter Rebbe doesn't write that. It's just an example that I gave. Your intention is not for the sake of heaven. You're eating, yeah, you're right, you're eating, that's fine. And you have to eat because otherwise you die. God created you with the necessity, with the need of eating. That's fine. I take it, I'm going to eat. But why do you eat? Because I love food. Okay. So God, don't come to me that you're eating because God created you in a way that you have to eat. Nah. In Yiddish we say Bobe Mises, stories of the grandmother. Nah. You're eating because you like eating. That's what you're doing. That's why you're eating. So again, you're not doing this for the sake of heaven. To serve God with your body. All these long list of things, animals of many kinds that you can eat, everything that is mutar, allowed to be eaten, animals, plants, and stones or minerals or whatever, and thoughts, speech, action, and so on. You're not doing it because of for God. You're doing it because you want. You like it. That's why you're doing it. Loi adifim ma'ase dibur machshav is elu min nefesh achiyunis abba mis biatzma. I'll translate literally, even though in English you should read it the other way around. But are not better, to understand the words, loi adifim, are not better these actions and speeches and thoughts from the animal soul itself. So, the animal soul of the Jew, the Alter Rebbe explained in chapter 1, actually, that it comes from something called Klipas Noiga, that he never explained what this is. Parenthesis, the truth is, people don't realize, but the Alter Rebbe so far brought very few own ideas, so to speak. He's just defining a system that is defined in Kabbalah. He's just laying it out in a structured way, so we can understand where he wants to explain from himself. And in the introduction of the book, we saw The Alter Rebbe, very humbly, he said, I'm not giving you anything from myself. I'm just giving you things that I heard from my teachers and I read from books and so on. Okay, we know he did his job, so to speak. But over here, he's also not explaining something new. He's just saying, look, it's brought down in the books, in Kabbalah books, the Arizal, or whatever, any book, it doesn't really matter which book it is, that there is such a thing as an intermediate level that is the chayus, the vitality of all kinds of things, including the soul of a Jew. And I just included in the introduction to this chapter, including the soul of a non-Jew that left idolatry and so on, called Bnei Noyach, Ben Noyach, Bas Noyach, and so on. V'akol kasher lakoil, nishpa benimshach u'madrega ha'sheinis shebeklipa v'sitra achra. And all of this, all the list of things that I just gave you, all of it is actually receiving energy, flux of energy, from the second level of klipa, of shell, and other side, sitra achra, she klipas revis, which is the fourth shell. I'll explain this in a second. It's very easy. Anikris klipas noiga. That is called a brilliant shell. Shebo elamaze, that is found in this world. Hanikra oilamasiya rubuki kulera, that is called the world of action, and most of it, it's a bad thing. Rak me'at toiv me'ura besoicha, there's just a little bit of good mixed in the world. Stop. What does that mean? What is he saying? He's saying like this. Look, it's defined, again, this is not a novelty of the Alter Rebbe, it's just laying out the ideas. There are actually five levels. Five possible levels. The highest one, the good one, so to speak, Kedusha, holiness. Very nice. Then you have Klipas Noiga, an intermediate level, which is called a brilliant shell. Why brilliant? Because it has some kind of good. This is what the Alter Rebbe just said. Some kind of good is mixed in over there. It's very difficult to find, and most of it is bad, evil. But there is some kind of good over there also. And then you have three levels of impurity. Are they the same? No, of course not. That's why there are three levels. The Alter Rebbe did not go into the details of what's the difference between one level and the second one. I don't know, and I don't care. But the point is, three impure levels. If a person is found over there, that's it. You're gone. You're not good. If a person is found in Kedusha, yeah, you're good. But what happens in the middle? Okay. This is where most of us actually are found, in the middle. And the Alter Rebbe is going to explain, I'll just say it outside so it's going to be easier. This middle level means that sometimes when you use it properly, it goes into Kedusha, gets an elevation, an upgrade, so to speak, and goes into a new level of Kedusha, of sanctity, holiness. And if you don't use it properly, it goes into Klipa, into impurity, into evil, so to speak. This is what the intermediate level means. The Alter Rebbe brings in brackets. Shemimena boiz midis toibis shebenefesh abamis shebisrael kama shekasuv le'eil. That from this intermediate level, that from now on we're going to call it klipas noiga, this brilliant shell, from this level come the good qualities in this animal soul of a Jew. As we explained in chapter 1, actually. We explained before. And this is an intermediate level from between the three impure shells, completely impure shells, and the level of sanctity, holiness, as I explained before. Therefore, since it's an intermediate level, sometimes it becomes unified, so to speak, included into the three impure shells. Brackets. Kama shekasuv etzchaim shal memtes. As it's written over here, over there. Okay, go look over there. You're going to find more details. Upamim after the brackets. Upamim sheinichleles ve'oyle bebechinas madrigas akedushin. Sometimes it goes up into the levels and gets included into levels of holiness. How does it come? Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's evil. What does it mean? Behind. The Alter Rebbe explains. Keshiatoiva meurav ba. Nisbarer mehara, when the good parts that are mixed in this level, this intermediate level, are refined from the evil, What does it mean to refine something? It means to separate and choose the good parts out of the bad parts. This is an expression actually taken from the laws of Shabbos, that of course have nothing to do with non-Jews. Non-Jews don't have to keep Shabbos. But there's one thing called boider. Boider means to select, to choose. So you choose good things from bad things. Suppose you're eating something and you just choose the good parts of what you're eating and you leave the bad parts. So this is birur. This is what it means to refine, actually. So over here, when the good parts that are mixed into this brilliant shell actually get selected out of the evil parts, and these good parts get a strength, so to speak, and they go up and get included into holiness. Kegoin. For instance, I'll give you an example so you can understand what I'm talking about. Derech Mashal, an example. Ha'oichel bisra shmeina detura. This is an expression in the Talmud. A person that eats very fat meat of a cow. Very fat meat. Sorry. And you drink wine that has like a perfume, very strong wine. Why do you eat and drink? To open your mind into godliness and his Torah. Where do you get this from? So you have to be drunk in order to learn Torah? Of course not. As the Talmud says, Rove, one of the greatest sages in the Talmud, says, Chamra berecho pachin, he didn't bring the whole words, all the words over here. The wine and a good smell, they make you smart, like they open your mind. And in a different place, it says, very similar idea, until I eat something very good, I can't answer your question. Like somebody asked the rabbi, I have a question, and so what? Let me eat my breakfast first, and then I'll answer you. So you see, the food gives you strength. For instance, you eat in order to fulfill the pleasure of Shabbos and holidays, Yom Tov. So the food itself, the eating, the act of eating itself becomes a holy act. Azai, then, Nisbarer chayus abasa vehayayin, shiaya nishpa meklipas noiga, gets refined, this sustenance of chayus, livelihood of the meat and the wine that received energy from the brilliant shell, veoile lashem ke oile ke korban, and goes up to God like a holocaust, like a korban, like an offering, like a sacrifice. It really goes up. The good parts go up. You can ask what happens with the bad parts. The Altarebbe doesn't talk about this. But there are other places in Hasidus, in Kabbalah, whatever, that they explain. Sometimes the bad parts just get completely lost, out of the picture. And sometimes the refinement is so deep and so strong that even the bad part, the evil parts, can also go up. But this is a very different thing than what the Altarebbe is talking about here. Over here, the Altarebbe doesn't talk about the bad parts. The evil parts, whatever, they get lost. And the good parts go up into Kedusha, into holiness, to become holiness. V'chein, same thing happens. This is a very interesting story. Short and interesting. Ha'oimer milsa de bedichusa lefakeach daitoi. U'lesameach libei la'ashem u'letoirasa v'avoidasan. When a person says a joke, milsa de bedichusa, it's a joke, to open your mind and to be happy with your heart to God and his Torah, and his service. Shetzrichim liyois v'simcha. That has to be with happiness. K'moshasa Rove. As Rove, the same sage we brought before, the Talmidav used to do with his students, she'omar lifnei milsa de bedichusa tchila ubat chirabana. He used to tell a joke before the class. Before he started the class, he used to tell a joke. And the students used to laugh, and then he used to start the class very serious. And everybody was very serious, just listening to the class. But after the rabbi gave a joke, so okay, everybody loosens. Okay, it's fine, the rabbi is a funny guy. So you start listening to the class. So this joke that Rove said, it was part of helping the students really grasp and understand the class of Torah that Rabbi was giving. So we see that in a regular case, the joke would be completely unnecessary. Why would you tell a joke? Are you saying anything useful? No. Are you saying a verse of Torah? No. Are you praising God? No, I'm just telling a joke. What do you mean, just telling a joke? Shut up. Nobody asked you to tell jokes. This is not a theater where you go see somebody stand up and telling jokes. I don't care about your jokes. I want to learn Torah. So Rebbe used to tell a joke. People used to calm down. And then he started the class. That's Klipas Noiga. That's what it means, Klipas Noiga, this brilliant shell. The joke becomes a good thing, a helper, a service to the service of God. Ach, however, says the Alter Rebbe, the other side of the coin. A person that, I would not know how to translate this exactly. Zeilel Basa is a guy that eats so much meat, and he eats and more meat and more meat, and they give me more another plate. And Seve Yain is a drunkard. He drinks and he drinks and he drinks and he doesn't stop. And why does he eat and drink? Lemales tavas gufoi, benafsha bamis, to fulfill the passions of his body and his animal soul. He's like an animal. That's what it is. Actually, there's a story by the Baal Shem Tov. It's a famous story. In short, the Baal Shem Tov was in a certain place with his students. They used to travel here or there. And there was a guy eating a steak, a piece of meat. And he was eating, like, enjoying the piece of meat he was eating. And the Baal Shem Tov asked the students to hold on hands. And he put his hands, his holy hands, in the shoulders of the two students that were by him, like they made a circle or something like that. And they saw a bull eating meat. There was a whole bull over there, like a cow, eating the meat. And the students were very scared. The cow, it's a huge thing, a huge animal. Over there, eating meat, cows don't eat meat. They opened their eyes again, and they saw this guy over there eating the steak, the meat. So the Baal Shem Tov explained, this guy was so into his food, he became his food. That's what he was. Food, meat. That's what you are. So this is basically what the Alter Rebbe is talking about over here. So you can either take the good parts of Klipas Noiga, meat, in the context of Judaism for Jews, so to speak, meat, if it's kosher, it's allowed to be eaten, you make the bracha, you make the blessing, and you enjoy yourself, eat meat, what's the problem? And for non-Jews, even if it's not kosher, go enjoy yourself, eat meat. The question is, why are you eating? Why are you eating? Either to have strength to serve God, enjoy. But if you're eating just because you like eating, and you enjoy the food and the... So, that's not good, good. That's not good at all. He said this. Okay, that Rebbe goes back to what he said in the first chapter, that pleasures of life, physical pleasures, they are the fundament of water, the element of water, I'm sorry, from the four elements, evil elements that are found in the animal soul. That from this element of water comes the pleasures and the passions and so on from the animal soul. Hine. Now, through this, that you're eating just because you like eating, the livelihood of the meat and the wine, or whatever you're drinking and so on, or eating, inside of you, they go down and they get included, at least for some time, this is going to be important for later, in complete evil, shalosh klipas atmeis, in complete evil of the three impure shells, v'gufo inase lahen levush umerkava lefisha. Altreva repeats, and your body becomes a garment for this impurity, and like a chariot for this impurity for some time, lefisha, for an instant, for a moment, so to speak. What does that mean, for a moment? So, two things are happening over here. Thing number one is about the food itself, the godly life of the food itself. Where did it go? Down. It goes down into klipa, into impurity. Now, you yourself that you're eating, your body, where did it go? Down again. Became like a tool for this energy, this evil energy, and goes down. Like a garment for the evil energy goes down into impurity. Until when? Salter explains. Ad asher yoshuv ha'adam v'yachzel avedes Hashem le'toiros. Until the moment that a person does tshuva, returns, a person returns, goes back to service of God and his Torah. Ki lefi shehaya basar heter v'yayin kosher. Since we're talking about permitted, allowed meat and allowed wine, lekach yecholin lachzor v'la l'isimoy b'shuva l'avodas Hashem. That's why they can go back and get elevated again together with you when you go back to service of God. So let me explain this. It's very simple, but maybe it's not so easy to see. So a person ate something that was kosher. You're allowed to eat this. That's fine. You ate. But you didn't eat. Let's go case by case. I'm sorry. You ate because you want to serve God with the strength of this food. That's fine. Klipas noiga, brilliant shell, became kedusha. You're serving God with the strength of the food. You have to eat because God made you this way and so on. That's case number one. Case number two, you ate because you really like food. I'm not hungry. I don't need the food. I'm not planning to serve God with this food. I just like this. I enjoy this and I like it. I'm going to eat it. In that case, from that moment on, and we'll see in a minute when this finishes, but from that moment on, the energy of that food became impurity, the three impure shells, and your body, which is like a chariot for that energy, because you actually incorporated that energy into yourself, that also becomes impure, impurity. Until when? Until at some point you say, oh, yeah, I finished eating, this was so good, but I have to learn Torah now. So you go and learn Torah. At the end of the day, this food that you ate gives you strength to whatever you do. You can learn Torah, you can go kill people, whatever you want to do, you're moving yourself because you have the strength of this food. So when you learn Torah with the strength of this food, oh, that's it. The food, the energy of the food came out of impurity and got included into holiness, because learning Torah is a mitzvah and so on. And your body, through which you yourself are learning Torah, that also gets an aliyah, gets elevated into holiness. But that only works when whatever you ate was kosher, was allowed to be eaten, for a Jew was kosher and so on. Shezu lashon heter umutar. This is a very interesting, I don't know, because I don't know everything, but I would say this is something the Alter Rebbe showed us. I don't know if it's written somewhere else, but again, I don't know everything. It doesn't really matter. This is what it means in Hebrew. The classical expression for something allowed is mutar. Something that is allowed, that's the translation, mutar. Heter means the thing is permitted. Mutar means it's allowed. But there's another translation to this word. When a person ties with a knot something, we say this thing is kosher, as it's going to appear in a second. Kosher means tied. How do you say untied? Mutar. It's untied. Okay, it's allowed. That's the regular correct translation. But a deeper translation is, it's untied. What? What is it saying? Okay, let's go. Shezu lashon heter mutar. This is what it means, says the Alter Rebbe, when our sages use the word heter, allowed, mutar, untied. Kloimar, I'll explain to you. She'ein kosher ve'osur b'diach hitzonim. This thing that a person ate or drank and so on is not like in prison, is not tied. Osur means to be tied also, not just forbidden, means to be tied. Just as mutar means allowed and tied, I'm sorry, untied, osur means forbidden and tied. Tied to what? B'diach hitzoinim, in the hands of the outers, quote unquote, means sitra acha, the other side, impurity, klipa, everything is the same, basically. Shelo yuchal lachzor v'la'aleis l'Hashem. In a way, what does it mean to be tied or untied? If something is tied to complete an absolute impurity, for instance, a not allowed piece of meat or whatever food it is, so you cannot untie it and make it holiness. Forget it. It's tied. You can't bring it up. You can't change it. You cannot do anything about it. So if a person ate something that is mutar, it's untied, but you did it with a wrong intention, okay, at least the food is untied. At some point, you will do tshuva. You will repent yourself. You will go back to service of God. And these things, seeing they were untied, whatever you ate and so on, and the same thing happens, the Alter Rebbe doesn't say it, but he said it before. Thought, speech, and action. Same thing happens with anything in life. You have a bad thought, evil thought. Okay, that the strength of that thought goes down into impurity. It brings you down into impurity, even just a thought. But, okay, I can do tshuva, I can go back. But that's only if it's a thought of something that is not osur, forbidden. Oh, I'm sorry, tied. It's the same word. But if this guy has thoughts of dvarim asurim, forbidden things, the Alter Rebbe is going to continue later talking about this, you can't untie it. It's tied. Forget it. You can't bring it up. Okay, so let's go back. Since this thing would be tied to the impurity, it cannot go back and go up to Hashem, to God. But going back into the continuation of the text, so to speak, since this guy ate something because he enjoyed, not to serve God, forget about God, I just enjoy to eat this. Okay, eating this. Okay, you get it. You ate it. You got it. And at some point he does tshuva. He repents and he says, I want to serve God now. God now. So the energy of this thing that he ate, let's put a piece of meat, just as an example. Since it was kosher meat, it was allowed to be eaten by a Jew, it goes up back to God, together with his body. But, now continuing with the text, there's a mark of this in the body. There's a mark of this. What does that mean? He ate something that was allowed, completely kosher. His intention was not correct. And he made tshuva. He repented, whatever that means. He repented and he continued serving God. And he elevated the energy of this meat into holiness. But you know what? You traveled, quote unquote, to a bad place. Therefore, you have a mark of having been in that bad place. In your passport, you know, they put the stamp. You've been in. Ah, you've been there. Don't count to me that you're not there. Yeah, but I'm not there anymore. You've been there. I saw your passport. There's a mark over there. You've been there. Al ken, therefore, tzarich haguf lechibut hakeber. The body needs some system of purification. Chibut hakeber literally means that they turn around the body inside the grave. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. They turn around the body. And there are others. The Alter Rebbe is going to talk about this later. Not now. Forget it. This happens if a person ate, again, I repeat, a kosher thing, an allowed thing, mutar. It was untied. And the kavana, the intention was wrong. And he did tshuva. He repented. Mashe ein ken b'machalos asurois, which is not the case with forbidden foods, ubiyos asurois, and forbidden relationships. Interestingly, there's a very short note of the Rebbe in the back of Tanya, correcting very small mistakes that through printing and through copies and so on, mistakes go into books. And the Rebbe says that actually, why the Alter Rebbe suddenly started talking about forbidden relationships? Where did he got it from? He never mentioned this before. So the Rebbe says, actually, when he gave the examples before of food, wine, the truth is he also gave examples of forbidden relationships. But whatever, for some reason, he got deleted and comes up over here. But it's basically the same idea. So, which is not the case with something that is osur, tied, forbidden. שהן משלוש קליפס הטמאיס לגמרי, that this is, these are from the three completely impure shells, הם אסורים וקשורים, he repeats the idea, they are forbidden and tied בידי החיצונים לעולם, in the hands of impurity, whatever, חיצון means outside, forever, forever, if it's forbidden, it's forbidden, ואין עולם משם עד כי יבוא יומם, and they will not go up from there until their day comes. What does that mean? ויבו למוות לנצח. And the death, which means, again, it's the same thing. The Gemara says, מלאך המוות, שטן, יצר הרע, it's everything is the same. The angel of death, and the accuser, and the inclination of evil inclination, everything is the same. It's basically the same thing. So over here, מוות, death, means evil and whatever, evil inclination. So it's never, these things will never go up from the impurity until basically Mashiach comes. Until their time comes and death is completely swallowed forever. כמו שכתוב, as it's written, וזרוח אטומה אבי מן הארץ, that God will completely remove the spirit of impurity. That's one option. Then all the actions, speech, thoughts, and so on of impurity will be elevated. Or another option, at sheyase tshuva gdoila kol kach shezdoidnus lazali kezachius mamish, until a person does such a strong and powerful level of repentance that even the sins that he did on purpose, they become merits. Literally, the Gemara talks about this. It's not something from the Alter Rebbe at all. The Gemara Yuma at the end talks about this. Tshuva me'ava, that's what it's called. A repentance for love of God. Because he loves God, whatever. She'i tshuva me'ava, that's the Alter Rebbe says over here. She'i tshuva me'ava me'umka de'liba. The expressions the Alter Rebbe brings are very interesting. We're talking about a repentance out of love for God, of course, for God. Me'umka de'liba, from the deepest parts of your heart. Be'ava rabba, with a strong love, hasheika, and desire, nefesh shoykeka, and a soul that is thirst for God, ledavka bo yibar, to attach yourself to God. But tzama nafsho l'Hashem, and his soul is thirsty for God, ke'eretz ha'yefa utziya, like a land that is, quote-unquote, tired, without water, and desertic, li'yis ki ad heina, ha'isan nafsho be'eretz tziya. Why is the guy doing tshuva so strong? Because until now, his soul was in a desertic land, Betzal Maves, in a death land, whatever. He has Sitra Achra. This means his soul was connected to the other side. Urechoika me'oid, me'oir, I'm sorry, Penei Hashem betachlis, and completely far from the countenance of God. So that's why he realizes, where am I? Wow, what did I do with my life? So he starts really realizing how far he is from God, and that's like a springboard to go closer to God. Ulezois, since he realizes so far, his soul is very thirsty for God, with a lot of strength, even stronger than the souls of the righteous people. Kemamar Hamzal, as our sages say, and the Rambam brings it also, b'makom shebaal tshuva oimdim chulei, in a place where those who do repentance stand, even tzaddikim gmurim yachalim lamos bo. That's how the phrase ends. Even the greatest sages and righteous people and so on cannot even stand over there. Ve'al tshuva me'ava rabba zoi, omru, on this level, about this level of tshuva, with such deep love for God, our sages said, shezdoinus nazo loike zachius, that the sins made on purpose, they become like merits for the person. Because through realizing the terrible things that he did, he reaches this level of deep love for God. So going back just a second, again, the Alter Rebbe is defining a specific, very specific level of actions. What did the guy do, and what is expected of him to fix what he did? The guy ate something forbidden. The guy had forbidden relationships and so on. And now he wants to do tshuva. He's completely connected to klipa, to impurity and so on. The only way that he can actually fix what he did is if his tshuva fits into this definition. He realizes how far he is from God, and he realizes how much damage he did to himself, to his soul, to the world, to God, whatever. And then he really goes back. Then you can say that these impure things go up from their impure level into Kedusha, into holiness. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait for Mashiach. I'm sorry. You're going to have to wait for Mashiach, and he's going to fix whatever he has to fix. Aval. However, Tshuva Shelemi Aval Zoi, if you're talking about a different, lower level of tshuva, of repentance, and the Alter Rebbe explains in the third part of Tanya a whole thing about tshuva, Af Shei Tshuva Nechoina, even though it's correct repentance, V'Hashem Islach Lo, and God is going to forgive you, don't worry, it's okay, God is going to forgive. Mikol Makem Lo Inasu Lo Kezachis. However, you didn't reach a higher level that the sins that you did become merits. And the energy of these sins does not go up from impurity completely. No. They stand over there. They remain over there. Ade skates until the limit, so to speak, the moment of the Mashiach comes. Sheivula maves lanetzach, as he said before, that the death is going to be completely wiped out, swallowed of the earth. Ach, however, achayiz shevetipas shtipas zera sheyatzu memenu levatala. Again, another thing that the Rebbe says, the Alter Rebbe clearly spoke about this before, because he's quote unquote repeating, but for us, for whatever reason, the text got, I don't know, changed over the time or whatever. So he didn't speak about this before. What is he talking about? The energy of the drops of men's, how do you say this? Whatever, comes out over there to impregnate a woman and so on. So these drops of quote unquote water, etc., that came out without being into the context of intimacy, just whatever, masturbation and all of this. Af sheyarda v'nichrala b'shalosh klipas at meyais, even though this is a very, according to the Torah, impure activity, and the energy that the person invested into this activity, and the energy of those drops that were supposed to be into some other wife and so on, but they were not over there and so on, etc., they are shalosh klipas at meyais. This is complete impurity. That you don't need such a deep level of tshuva to bring that energy up again. With a regular tshuva, it's okay. The Alter Rebbe calls it tshuva nechoina, a good tshuva that he mentioned before. Tshuva nechoina, a good tshuva, a correct tshuva, repentance. And with very strong concentration and intention when you're reading the Shema before going to sleep. Whatever that means, I'm not going to explain this now. It doesn't really matter, the details. Kenoidame Arizal, as we know from the writings of the Arizal. Umerumos bigemora, and this is also alluded to in the Talmud. Talmud says, kolakori kriyas Shema al mitosoi, kilu oiches cherev shel shtei piyos, chule. The Gemara says, the Talmud says, that any person that reads the Shema, this prayer, so to speak, which is not a prayer, but whatever, this part of the Torah, before going to bed, it is as if you are holding a sword of two, how do you say, the cutting part of the sword, I don't know exactly the name in English, of two sides. When you have a knife, usually knife has a, whatever, the cutting side in one side, and the other one doesn't cut. So over here you have two sides that cut. Why do you need two sides? L'aroi gufeis achitzoinim shenasu levush l'chayis shebetipois. To kill, so to speak, the bodies of the externals, quote unquote, that means impurity and so on, that became a garment to the energy of these drops. Ve'oi le'achayus mehem And again, becomes garments. I'll explain in a second. Garments, first translation, levush, garments to these, the energy of these drops. And this energy goes up from them as it's known for those who know Kabbalah. That's what the Alter Rebbe says. Go learn Kabbalah. You want to know about this? So go learn Kabbalah. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? The Alter Rebbe is explaining how a person can repent, so to speak, for certain things. Over here he's talking about a certain thing, specific one, I don't even want to repeat, etc. So, would be like intimacy without a woman, and so on. Okay, so the Alter Rebbe is explaining something interesting. The Alter Rebbe is saying like this. Look, and he's going to explain later more about this. One thing is when a person does a sin, that sin gets a hold in this material world. Let's give an example. Not a nice example, I know that, but that's what the Alter Rebbe is talking about. So a person had forbidden relationships with the wife of the neighbor, whatever, and she got pregnant and she gave birth. Okay, that was a forbidden relationship, completely forbidden, and it materialized. The quote-unquote impurity, poor baby has no fault, no, it's not his fault, but the truth is that the impurity of the act that they did, man and woman, both of them were there and so on, it got materialized into a person. Now it's living. It's a live person. Of course, you can't kill him, whatever, it's a life proof of a sin, of something forbidden by the Torah. So how can you fix that? What do you mean fix that? You want me to kill the person? You can't. There are stories of tzaddikim or whatever, they did such a powerful tshuva, the person died. Not that they went and killed him, but over here we're not talking about that. We're talking about a regular person. Forget it, you can't do tshuva. Let's wait for Mashiach and maybe he's going to fix something. I don't know. But over here, in this other particular sin, and interestingly, for some reason, I have no idea why, some doctors, even psychologists and so on, they say, this is such a good thing, you should do it and practice this as many times as you can and you want, it's good for the body. It's a terrible thing. The Rambam talks about this also, whatever. So, the Alter Rebbe is saying a different example. These drops and so on, did not materialize into a life, because they were not, so to speak, put into a woman. They were put into the garbage, whatever. Thrown away into garbage. So that means that in order to fix that, you don't need to, quote unquote, kill a person. Of course, we don't kill anybody, but I'm just giving an example. You don't need to kill a person to fix that, because there's no person over there. But there's impurity anyway. And it's, quote unquote, a spiritual life over there, somewhere, living out of the sin of this person that brought out, so to speak, these drops without a woman. So, the Alter Rebbe explains, and he's going to give more details later about this particular subject, the Alter Rebbe explains that when a person does tshuva nechoina, proper tshuva, proper repentance, and has a lot of intention and concentration when reading the Shema at night, since reading the Shema at night, that's what the proof he brought from the Talmud, actually. Since reading the Shema at night, so to speak, gives you a sword of two cutting parts, both sides, that helps you kill, quote unquote, all that energy that was born, quote unquote, spiritually speaking, out of this act.